study, and I think the staff has left that open, and I would make it a little more affirmative and state it.
Okay,
Conalane under Sligo Avenue is an option.
My second then would support that. Also, another point of clarification, and that is when you talked in terms of you believe that our report and comments ought to reflect a reiteration of our previous.
Yes, sir. That is my intention because the state is carrying forward for options, some options which we have clearly rejected in our
And their report did not speak to the fact that the state was continuing to explore some options which we didn't find about until now. So I second that.
I think I agree with the gist of what you've said. I guess I'm a little confused because we're – To whom are we communicating this?
Actually, these are. This is going to the county council.
Yes.
The county council will make the official comments to MTA.
So it
after
seems
we
to me.
Advise them
all right.
I guess I'm a little confused about the notion of well, staff should change its report. I mean, it seems to me this is a discussion about what do we want to highlight to the county council.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the cover letter we can simply. Take as a given or state that we have taken as a given the council's previous pronouncements on this subject and we assume that they'll stand by them and we agree with them.
Yes, that's a fair, the commissioner's made a fair observation.
Majority agrees with them.
Yes, I want to make sure that whatever transmittal we send forth to the council makes clear that that this analysis recognizes that these prior decisions have been made. I just think that's, you have well integrated document.
With a footnote about the one member of the board who has a different opinion.
Yeah, okay.
They may know that too.
Yes, I know they do. Because, if you want to get into the Jones Bridge thing again, I didn't think we were going to talk about that. We were just
No, I don't want to.
Either, but I supported going and looking at that alternative, but what's been done has been done, and I'm not trying to ask the council or anyone to change their views. And in terms of this specific recommendation, I guess, in my mind, I think we should strengthen the staff's expression of concern about Sligo. I think both Mr. Madden and everyone seems to think it's definitely a second choice.
You did say that you clearly stated, at least verbally, that you consider Wayne Avenue to be the more likely choice. Where in the written report is that comment found?
Did you say that clearly?
No.
Because it's got a different right-of-way.
Where in the written report did you say that, if you said it?
It's part. This recommendation is actually that whole section, page 1, 2, and just before the discussion. Yeah. So while there's a general recommendation right up front, we are also asking that the specifics be sent forward.
Right. You said on page 7, there is less existing right-of-way along the Sligo Avenue alignment. There's likely to be a greater impact, including reduction of front yards.
Mm-hmm.
You also say there's this very sharp incline. I thought you did say somewhere that Wayne Avenue is...
Let's see.
Because to me, I think we should make it clear that...
We could strengthen that portion of the recommendation.
Yeah, I'm not sure that... I don't think there is a place in the written report that says what I heard you say a few minutes ago verbally, which is that you consider the Wayne Avenue route to be, in the end, probably the more likely option.
I thought I read that.
It's part of the discussion.
We'll find it.
Yeah.
That's what we need to know.
We need to see the
report.
It
was in the report,
Okay.
At the risk of sounding awfully procedural, we send a cover letter and include the staff report. What are we sending to the county council? Instead
that's
of talking about this
do.
Report.
We normally send a staff report with a cover letter that states any disagreement the board... Any place the board has changed the staff recommendation
staff
and any emphasis that
is... The staff report is what it is.
Yeah,
and so it seems to me, rather than talking about how they should change it, we should talk about what we want to emphasize. So I take it what we want to emphasize is concerns about potential community impacts that's in the report as well. That's not...
All right. No, I think we should say then we heard extensive opposition from residents along Sligo Avenue, and as the staff report indicates, there are serious concerns about that route that may make it less, that make it less desirable than the White Avenue.
Yes.
But we still think it should be studied.
We think it should still be studied, in particular, keep open the option of tunneling. I mean, that tunneling is a piece of that, that those issues may be addressed with.
Maybe with tunneling that the Sligo route turns out to be the better one than the Wayne Avenue.
Well, real tunneling, not just a cut and cover. But, yes, and emphasizing the tunneling. Because you do have it on page 7, but it's hard to ferret out, and
so
you won't get
right,
to it without saying it.
It seems to me, I don't really care what you wrote. I want to talk about what we want to, I do care.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Since we need to move this along, what else do people want to emphasize? We've emphasized community impacts along Sligo. We've talked about
tunneling.
Well, I'd like to emphasize the fact that the work that MTA has done in the report confirm that a purple line, that the purple line can indeed be extended from Silver Spring to Langley Park and College Park, and that the fact that we know more about the possible routes increases the reality of that portion of the line. Let's not forget there are critics of the purple line who in the past have said, oh, you say you went to Langley Park, but you'll never be able to do it. There's no way. And I think what this report shows and MTA's work shows is there are several ways. Some are better than others, but it can be done and is a very viable extension of the project. And I'd like to emphasize that.
I agree with that.
Certainly.
I agree.
Can we get clarification? We heard from MTA that they are considering tunneling both for the Sligo Avenue route and the Wayne Avenue route, and you asked us to make sure we state that we are not precluding tunneling on Sligo. Would you like us also to state the same thing for Wayne?
Yes.
Thank you. This paragraph you were looking for in the staff report is on page 5, second from the bottom, about Wayne Avenue.
Okay. Well, we're going to put it in the cover letter regardless, so that's even more important.
But I think
any other comments?
Yeah, I guess my only other comment is that the request for the tunneling still doesn't extend to the part between Bethesda Silver Spring, right?
It's inconsistent with the prior board recommendation.
I would not support tunneling. I would certainly support, as we have in the past supported, the notion that in appropriate locations there may need to be cut and cover or additional berming to insulate the community, but
I mean, that's my only concern, because we're leaving it all open in all this other section. We could end up, you know.
We've dealt with this.
I guess my view is this is this is about from Silver Spring on.
Right.
Silver Spring
right.
To the east. And so we had talked about there'd be something that said we take as a given what we've said and what you've said about
Let's stick with that.
Here are our comments on what's going east.
Okay.
Right, because all we're doing is telling the county council what these alternatives are. We're not, we're agnostic in terms of what's really going to happen, as far as I'm concerned. So in that sense, I'm okay with the staff report. To me, it actually points up the extreme difficulties of moving forward. But
okay.
Call the question, sir.
All right. Well, we have a motion. You can call the question, but the chairman's going to take his prerogative to make a final statement, which is that I'm very excited by the work that's being done, and I'm very excited by this report for just the reason I said, that while to date most of the discussion has been about the purple line between Bethesda and Silver Spring, and clearly building that segment of the line is a high priority, and with all due respect, I do consider it a no-brainer to connect Bethesda and Silver Spring in the two arms of the Red Line in Montgomery County. This is an investment we simply have to make. But what has made the Purple Line even more meritorious is the additional work that shows that we can extend this transit line east of Silver Spring to Langley Park, where there are indeed thousands of workers, most of whom travel to the western part of the county to work. And right now, get up at 4 a.m, leave their families in the cold and in the dark, in order to be able to get on a bus and travel for two, sometimes 2.5 hours to get to their jobs. And this transit line would be enormously beneficial to those workers. And then extending the line to College Park so that we connect Montgomery County and Montgomery County's metro stations directly with the University of Maryland, the premier university that many of our residents use, is a terrifically exciting project, and we are one step closer to reality. And to the communities on Sagamore Avenue and elsewhere, I want to be very clear. We understand your concerns, and we hear you loud and clear. And we knew that this day would come. Part of making the Purple Line a reality east of Silver Spring is putting some ideas on the table, drawing some lines on a map so that the community has a chance to react to it, and so that we make sure whatever we do is done in a way that is most respectful of the community as possible. And we acknowledge that it may be an uncomfortable period for some of those communities. We regret that, but any major transportation project necessarily creates that kind of uneasiness. But the purpose is so we can have a dialogue, not so that we can ram anything down anybody's throat. And the process will listen to the community at every step. I support the motion.
I think I will not support the motion, the reason being that we were never able to resolve the community's concerns from Bethesda to Silver Spring, and I have some real serious doubts we're going to be able to resolve them in this next phase for the reasons that we just discussed. So until we get more serious with a really major metro system that's undergrounded and really does the job, I think I'll just stick with my original position.
All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
And the chair votes aye, so by a vote of 4-1, the staff report is adopted with the modifications that were stated, and those will be included in a cover letter. Thank you very much, and we look forward to continuing our dialogue with the community. Work session on the Woodmont Triangle Amendment to the Bethesda Sector Plan is next. And after that, Damascus, so we will cover the whole county today. One end to the other.
Oh, boy. Nope, it's not, is it? Well, wouldn't my training this should be relatively easy in terms of presentation.
All right, we'd appreciate it if everyone who has finished their business will go out into the hallway so that we can carry on our meeting. Thank you very much. John, as soon as you're ready to start the room on the presentation, let us know.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Marilyn Clemens, Community-Based Planning. Here with me is John Carter of Community-Based Planning. This is your second work session on the Woodmont Triangle Amendment. This is devoted to public arts and amenities, and we'll start with our PowerPoint. Thank you.
Okay, we wanted to give you a little arts flavor here. You see the graphic at the bottom is actually borrowed from the new light rail line in Portland. It also defines a bikeway. Designed by artists, it represents all the communities and uses that the bikeway and a light rail traverse. Next, please. The next two slides will give you a capsule, really, of where we've been. This whole effort was really started by the merchants, owners, residents of the Whitmon area. The complaint was the stores, there were many vacant storefronts. A lot of the business was going south, Bethesda Row, of course. Overhead wires dominate the skyline. The building stock is old, diverse in height and character. And there wasn't much incentive to redevelop. Much of the area had a 50-foot height limit. Also, the parcels are quite small. Next slide, please. We wanted to help spur revitalization. As a county, we want housing. But these images represent what the Woodmont community and our many workshops express. This is what they want. They want vitality on the street. They want that wonderful mix of people recreating, walking, enjoying themselves, places to gather, storefronts, animating images at the street, and places for occasional outdoor performances or gatherings. Next slide, please. Our urban design guidelines really summarize that list of prioritized amenities you saw in the staff report. These guidelines would be put into the amendment. Approve the building heights in the public sector hearing draft. We realize this is very key to the MPDU legislation, and that we'll have more to hear about heights. Provide the Bethesda streetscape, especially on Norfolk Avenue. A major expense, of course, will be the undergrounding of the utilities. Developers would contribute to accomplishing this first, and many of them would use part of their public use space off-site to do it. The new buildings would step back from Norfolk Avenue to assure sunlight to all those pedestrian, cafe, outdoor dining spaces. We would hope to keep the existing building line along Norfolk. As we've said many times before, first floor uses should help animate the sidewalk, the public domain. We would encourage small-scale specialty retail and definitely discourage mall-type format, shoe warehouses, Home Depots, etc.
I don't understand the thing about the warehouse. You mean like
warehouse scale as opposed to small scale?
Like Walmart or?
Exactly.
Oh, I see.
But the idea is to keep much of the flavor that's there, which is very small scale, small floor plate, let's say.
But some of the buildings are kind of old and look kind of like warehouses, but they're just not very large.
Well, I guess we'd encourage that. I don't want to make
it's
a joke. But it's a question of scale.
Okay.
And that street frontage that creates the vitality. And this is important. The intersection of Rugby and Norfolk is way over 100 feet wide in every direction. No one can see the entrance to the park. And Norfolk itself sort of just terminates in this great area of asphalt. Next slide, please. This, then, is the overall urban design thought for the area. It incorporates all those itemized amenities. The streetscape, of course, first on Norfolk, then the other streets. The spine is not only Norfolk, but the idea would continue up the bikeway network to the north, to the east, and to the southwest. Battery Park is outlined in dark green. You can see where it is right at the head of the Norfolk Spine. The art venues are existing, that is like Imagination Stage, the old Bethesda Theater, which is now the Meterlander Theater, the Veterans Park, the imagination stage, the new sculptures at the Palisades by Rodney Carroll, and a potential in a couple other locations for more places for public art or gatherings. The new development, of course, is in the dark gray. The mid-block connections, we already have one. The Betty Kroenke Terrace reception area, mid-block between Auburn and El Rey. Next slide, please. And here is the streetscape that the community has wanted for years. Next year, DPWT will be doing these bump outs. They will be providing the bike lanes. It would be up to the development community then to do the brick, the crosswalks, additional trees, the undergrounding of utilities especially, and the streetlights. Of course, that's number one on the list. We would also like to have art in any form it might take in the public right-of-way. That might be signage. It might be overhead. It might be in the pavement. We don't know that yet. Make this street a very vibrant place to be. And then second, provide Bethesda streetscape on other streets. Next slide, please. Go ahead, Brian. Okay, this is a graphic, a cross-section you've seen before. The gray, actually, the existing buildings, some of them are up to 120 feet. The new buildings, however, the salmon-colored, beige-colored buildings, would step back away from Norfolk.
How tall is the first step of the salmon?
None of this to be taken literally, but I made it at 30 feet, and then it's 60, and then it's 90.
Okay.
And we did this in the computer.
Only for illustrative purposes is what you said.
Exactly. Yeah, but we did it in the computer based on midday, June 21st. And the shadows reflect that.
Oh, so it's real in terms of the shadows.
It is, yeah.
I mean, it's real. It's really Norfolk.
And we've sort of traced in the actual buildings back there at the horizon that are way up on Battery that are quite tall. It's not just a vast horizon out there. The pink stripes at the bottom represent how at the intersections this roadway would be narrowed down for easier crossing for pedestrians, and then you see the bicyclists on the bikeway. Next slide, please. The park. First of all, on the left is the intersection in front of the park. You see a bicyclist heading that way. All of this is public right-of-way. There's some private parking in it. You really don't know where the park begins. And many people who work in the Norfolk area or all of Woodmont, they don't even know it's there, unless they happen to live to the north on Battery Lane. The current bikeway, which is quite popular, is about 4 feet wide. This is a major connector to the North Bethesda Trail and then to the south as well. So we would like to see a minimum of 10 feet. 12 would be great in an urban area like this. One area of the park that's very popular is a small tot lot. There is room to have a gathering place for picnicking or for concerts or temporary installations just beyond that. Again, we use the graphic because there's so many ways you could illustrate or identify this spine, this bikeway, and it could be a fascinating linear experience. Over on the far right of autumn is a piece from the Planet Walk on the Anne Arundel Trail that was just inaugurated. Each mile of that walk is punctuated by pieces of art contributed by the development community and designed by a sculptor. Next slide, please. To the zoning then, we have discussed with this with the affected property owners. We believe now that the CBD2 is the best zone for blocks 44 and 45 that accommodates those buildings that will remain and those properties where they would wish to redevelop.
So what is the change? Could you just...
Okay, initially we had CBDR2 proposed for blocks 44, 45,
which was... R2
has the emphasis on residential. the additional height and density has to be primarily residential.
Okay.
If you applied that to blocks 44 and 45, those existing uses that are purely commercial, or and they may not wish to redevelop, would become essentially nonconforming.
I see. Okay.
The other zones remain the same. However, we are proposing to lift the 50-foot height limit for those blocks south of Cordell. Next slide, please. So how would this all be accomplished? There are great hopes, of course, that the optional method of development and the development community would work off our list, help revitalize all of Woodmont. First, of course, Norfolk Avenue. We are awaiting the outcome of all the discussions on the MPDUs, the density and the height that that would allow if they provide MPDUs on site. And that is our whole emphasis. The housing in Woodmont, we would propose that it be on site. And in exchange for all of this, they can do their public use space off-site and accomplish our amenity goals.
But that's in the MPDU legislation, right?
That's correct.
Not in this amendment.
That is correct. Okay. It's totally separate, but our emphasis has been to get some of this revitalization and rebirth through housing. And as we all know, the housing market in Bethesda is very strong. There is another mechanism that's come up. There is a new group in Bethesda, the Bethesda Chevy Chase Community for Public Space, Arts, and Amenities. They have brought forth a proposal where some amenities could go into a nonprofit fund, and this would be managed by BUP or another nonprofit entity. We see the most useful way for this to be used is to achieve that art space we've all been looking for dance studios, for an arts incubator, for other arts use, that they have listed on their attachment. There's also the possibility that a standard method project would come in and would simply want to contribute to a fund and fill in the gaps in the streetscape. Next slide, please. And then this would be our next steps. We'll bring you the final text of this fall, with all your any changes you might make. It'll go to the council sometime this fall. This amendment could then be passed by early in the year. We'll await the outcome of the text amendments on MPDUs because of our housing emphasis. We can take your questions now, answer anything about the staff report or the PowerPoint.
I have an immediate question, which I think is generic to your analysis. Why are you waiting the outcome of the text amendments on the MPDUs? Why isn't that taken as a given, and the more basic policy issues here of height, zoning, and density are ones that should be addressed independently of the MPDUs, because the MPDU is a generic legislation that's going to apply to all zones without any of the, without the changes that you've recommended here?
Initially, we had emphasized the maximum height for Woodmont Triangle to be 143 in certain properties, and that is the overall design principle of the CBD, that there'd be a step down from the metro.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Well, that is correct.
And secondly, we are encouraging housing throughout the Woodmont Triangle.
Okay. So where does that just leaves me? You have different zones, you have different land use designations in Bethesda. They have different innate embedded heights in the zone. There are some areas that have height limitations. Here in this plan, you're intending to take the height limitations off. I'm sorry, I don't see the logical relationship of the MPDU legislation to what you're recommending here. Whether the council recommends 10% MPDUs, 20% MPDUs, some on-site, some off-site, this bonus or that bonus, unless you're concerned, in which case you stated explicitly, that if you go to 143 feet as the base zone, and the council says, say, X% bonus, for MPDUs, that that'll overload the zoning ceiling. If that's your concern, then you should explicitly state that. In which case, then, end of discussion. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda, because there's nothing more to discuss, because your recommendation would be to wait for the MPDUs. Where do you go with this work session if you're going to stop at a point that that's fundamental? And by the way, the MPDUs will impact all the other zones as well and might have the same result. So I don't see the logic of your recommendation here if we're going to proceed with the staff report today.
But, Don, just so, because this is something I want to discuss, but what is your bottom line?
My bottom line is either the MPDU legislation is irrelevant to the consideration of changing the underlying zone, or if it's central, which you seem to apply it is, we can move on to the next items, because until we know what the MPDU legislation is going to look like, there's nothing to discuss here, because you said that it makes a material impact on your recommendations for what's going to happen with building heights and densities in this part of Bethesda.
I'll say something, and I'm sure John wants to take this, but this emphasis today was to be on the amenities, the arts and amenities. What we've proposed previously is that in Woodmont Triangle, they would uniquely be able to do their 20% public use space and some of their amenities off-site. That happens also to be proposed in the MPDU legislation. I don't mean to tie the two together, but it would be good that they go in sync.
All right. Maybe I misread the staff report at the end of the work session. I'm known to do that. When are we going to make a final recommendation on this sector plan amendment? When's the final work session?
Let me take this all together. We have a schedule on the second page.
Fair
November
enough.
4th is our
next work session.
In theory, the next and hopefully last work session on this.
And maybe my comment is premature.
Well, in terms of coordinating with the MPDU legislation, that may also coordinate with the MPDU legislation. The work sessions for the MPDUs are in October for the Fed Committee. They'll in theory, going to be finished at the end of October. There is, of course, a final council action, but supposedly in November. So this will be in sync.
No, I think they said December.
December for the final council.
For the final for the MPDU.
Yes. Now, what Marilyn was saying, I mean, the action, you directed us to come back with a more specific amenity package, amenity program, that we could put in the final draft. That appears on page 5. It's a list. Marilyn summarized it in the PowerPoint. So your action today would be to basically direct us to go ahead and put that page 5 in the new draft. And then the next piece is the urban design guidelines on page 9, right, which Marilyn also summarized. And then the third action would be the actual zoning, this change to the two blocks there going from CBDR2 to CBD2. Those are the main actions. There are outstanding issues that are out there that really, this is a master plan, this is not a text amendment. The main ones are the public use space, locating that off-site. Hopefully we'll get that as part of the MPDU legislation. The density issues are also in the MPDU legislation. The green space, for instance, in the garden apartment area, we wanted to foster a revitalization effort in those areas.
I understand that, and I'm supportive of the legislation, and I'm sorry.
Yes.
I've gone back, and I reread the staff report. And I'm sorry, John, I'm still confused in terms about the correlation between the MPDUs and what you're asking us to do today and the immediate prospects for this text amendment.
Going ahead with the amenities, the urban design guidelines, and the zoning. And the text amendments will hopefully catch up to us on November 4th when we bring you the final. If all goes well with those text amendments, then it is in sync with the Woodmont Triangle.
I'm
actually very proud that we're going forward with this Woodmont Triangle, because it'll be the only area in the county that is in sync with the MPDU legislation. And I'm hoping Bethesda will benefit from at least
are looking at
that. That's my question then, which is that we should proceed on the assumption that the text amendments will not make the situation, will not result in a situation that's inconsistent with any public policy goals that you've advanced in this master plan amendment draft.
No.
I'm going to buy into an aspect of what I thought I heard when I came back in.
You're buying in or buying out?
No, I'm buying in. If in fact what's being said is that the ZTA process is distinct from what we're doing today, I'm buying into that. That's what I'm buying into. And I'm in favor of both, but I don't think that they should be tied to one another. And if that's what I think I heard you say,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm buying into it.
Then I apologize perhaps to the staff if I misheard the recommendation, but I heard the contrary.
Well, can I'm very confused because this whole master plan is based on the MPDU amendments. They're not just running alongside of each other. They're one and the same. So you can't do one without the other. I mean, your original recommendation was approve the building height in the amendment, and the building height recommendation was 143 feet. Now, in the handout you gave us, the recommendation is approve the building heights in the draft subject to the MPDU text amendments. We just went through those. The chairman just testified Thursday night, and what we said was that the way they're written right now, I mean, let's just take the amendments the way they're written now, not what we recommended, but the actual text as they're written now, was that they allow you to go to whatever density, if necessary to achieve density, you can go to any density you like, and also the same is true for height, so that, as I understand it, we said you could exceed the height in the zone as well as exceeding the height in the sector plan because of the if necessary clause on density.
No, that's not our assumption. You can exceed the height in the master plan by the amount of the bonus, but you cannot exceed the height in the zone.
That's our recommendation.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. The difference is between what we recommended and what the zoning text amendments say right now. We don't know if council will accept our amendments as we're considering this Woodmont Triangle amendment right now.
Right.
We have to assume the amendments as they now exist, at least I do. And so if it's subject to the MPDU text amendments as they're currently written, we don't know how big things are going to be. We don't know how tall they're going to be, and we don't know how dense, because there was no clarity in those amendments. We have made recommendations, which the chair testified to, that would give clarity to them and would set some limits. And if those changes are made, and those are then applied to the Woodmont Triangle area, we would be able to know what the sizes will be. But right now, really, the way they're written, kind of the sky's the limit, as long as you're putting in your MPDUs.
I guess I'm... I have a sense that maybe we're making our decisions today harder than they might have to be. That is, our decisions today. We don't ultimately adopt a master plan, but we could recommend a master plan with 143-foot height, and the council could approve that, and then they could pass legislation that says no matter what's in a master plan, you can build 85 stories high. They could do that. I don't know what... it doesn't tell me anything about what I need to do today. I don't know what the future will bring in future legislation.
Right.
All we can do today is decide what we think a master plan ought to say the sector plan ought to say about height. Now, it might be that then... by November, we'd have a sense that maybe the legislation is going to change to say, you can go this much unless there are magic words in the sector plan, and then we'd want to have magic words in the sector plan, but we wouldn't even know what those magic words were now. So
Well, I kind of see what you're saying, but that's why I was comfortable with the original staff draft, where it said approve the building heights in this amendment, and then whatever happens with the legislation happens.
Well, here's what, I mean, we have a couple of, the first staff recommendation is incorporate the following prioritized list of public amenities and facilities in the staff draft sector plan. At the risk of raising agreement, could we maybe see if there was agreement on that?
Yes. You sure you want to do that?
Yes, I want to do that.
We are agreed on that.
I would like to agree on that, but I do have a question about one portion of it. But I agree with it.
I do too. I have some questions about it, but I also agree with it.
Oh, well, thank you. We can move. We can get our questions.
And then maybe we can go to the next actual right. language of what they've recommended.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seems awfully simple.
She said it could be simple.
I have a question. Miracles never cease.
I have a question of clarification. And let me preface it by saying I am in general agreement with the intent of the Bethesda Urban Partnership and the notions about the need for incubator space. I'm looking at number 6 in particular. And number 7 together. I just need to make sure I understand what's being said here, especially in relationship to a notation on page 10. What's page 10? When it talks in terms of supporting arts incubator space, 10,000 square feet, managed by the Bethesda Urban Partnership, and because I didn't have my other notes from the last time we got together on this, I didn't know the answer to this, so I wrote down some questions, and I'm saying that I guess from my standpoint, I need to be cautious in terms of what's being said here regarding the kind of language that's being used. And why do I want to be cautious? Because I'm saying, what are we saying? Are we saying that we're endorsing this as part of the public amenities, but we're turning it over to a private nonprofit to manage this? And if that's the case, we're saying in essence then that the private corporation that develops this get credit for this public amenity space, and the management of which is by, again, a private nonprofit, but there is still a question of ownership from my standpoint. And I just didn't understand where the ownership angle finally rests when it comes to this. And the thing that comes to mind is I use the Friendship Heights, the Heck property in particular, as an example of where that was done, so to speak. But the ownership or management responsibility essentially came back to park and planning, if I recall correctly, and we in turn are responsible for seeing to it that that's perpetual space that's going to be there for the life of that development, and that we're responsible for seeing to it that there's being management. So therefore, there's oversight. I didn't pick up the oversight responsibility tie-in for the Bethesda Urban Partnership, although I support that group and what they're trying to do.
I really think what we should do is take that language off and further reflection. The managed by, that might be a great idea, but maybe there are other organizations that would be better at managing that.
I would vote for generic language there.
This is not saying no to Bethesda Urban Partnership.
Right.
But
All right. And now let me also tell you another reason why I'm suggesting that we change that language as a point of disclosure. In terms of, I forgot exactly where I was, but there is a perception out there, and I may be wrong because I can be wrong in terms of how I interpret things, But I got the distinct impression that there are some groups out there who believe that we're going to be making decisions that will force developers to give these groups free space. And that because of the fact that they're going to be a part of a public amenity, and that all they have to do is just wait, and they're going to get this free space. And from where I'm from, there's no such thing as free space.
Right.
So that's another reason why I think the language has to be a little more generic.
We know in optional methods we are coming to the applicant when it comes to enforcement of all issues. I don't care whether BUP manages it or whether I manage it or somebody else manages it. We have to be able to come back to the applicant on enforcing the rules, so to speak, or whatever agreement comes up at the end of optional methods. I'm just further reinforcing what you're saying.
Yeah.
We should take that language, not that that isn't a good idea, but we should take that language which prejudges what the management might be out of there. Same thing in number 7,
right.
I would suggest.
Yes.
Well, I think, I think the principle is very important, and more important than the name of the entity or whoever's going to do it. I mean,
right.
they are the logical entity because they're already managing the Arts and Entertainment District. Plus, we don't have a whole lot of people raising their hands saying, hey, we really want to do this. But it may be jumping a little bit ahead at the master plan stage to decide that. But the bigger principle is the mechanism by which these spaces are identified, but then what is the mechanism by which they even have the potential of becoming a reality?
Right.
And so what I was going to raise on that is you mentioned in the first work session using transfer of density as one method, because here's the problem. You build a high-rise luxury condominium, and is that going to be suited to a ballet, you know, Maryland Youth Ballet being there? That's unlikely. We've had experiences with these community spaces that are given by these buildings, and they're never really used. So what we're trying to do here is allow a developer who's building a luxury high-rise building to say, well, it's not going to work in my building to have a ballet company, but I realize under the optional method I have an amenity responsibility, and I will, either through a money donation or through working with another developer in a project, by getting a transfer of density from that other developer in order to keep a smaller building that's not an expensive, fancy building. There's buildings along Norfolk. There are
right.
buildings on Rugby. To keep one of those buildings, I will work with that developer. We'll keep that other space where the dance company can be, the Joy of Motion, the same sort of model also for the incubator space, because new construction is expensive. It'll be more costly to these groups, and they already have the funky little buildings there that could work for them. And the idea is not to, in getting the benefit of all the new development, throw out the potential for using some of this other space for the amenity needs of this community. So one would be using transfer of density. The other thing I think we should be considering as a mechanism is some sort of overlay zone that sets forth in these principles. And then as projects come in, if you have the mechanism in place and you have a list of these goals, which they're goals, they're not definitely going to happen, they're goals, but it makes it much more likely that it will happen. And I would say instead of support on 5, 6, and 7, establish, over time, or, establish as a goal the development, because what does support mean?
Mm-hmm.
We need to be proactive if this is going to happen as applicants come in. you know, the mechanism for the community center, which Allison was referring to for Friendship Heights, was that the sector plan said provide a, I think at that it was a 12,000 square foot community space. So we could just have provide, you know, this kinds of spaces and list these spaces, and then as projects come in, see where they could go.
That's the idea. As each project comes in, staff and the board and future staff and board would be using this list as our primary list of amenities, or a list of amenities to be used in Woodmont Triangle. Now, these text amendments are not an overlay zone. They actually apply to all central generic business districts. So it is a generic opportunity, I'll call it, particularly this transfer of amenity notion, where you wouldn't have to do it all on site. That would apply to all CBD zones everywhere. In the case of the Woodmont Triangle, we're a little bit ahead of the game because we actually have specific items that we would be using it for.
But it could help the Silver Spring Arts and Entertainment District, too.
That's right.
I think the last item is support development of an indoor youth recreation space of approximately 2,500 square feet. See, that presents the same idea. You have a high-rise luxury building. You're not going to want, you know, kids with a, you know, soft baseball in there with a bat. But that doesn't mean that somewhere in Woodmont Triangle there isn't a great place for that space. So I support the principles of this, and even though, I mean, it sounds like a majority of my colleagues do not want to refer to BUP as the operative agency, I think they will be the logical one. They're the ones that have stepped forward, and they don't get anything out of this other than the headaches of running these kinds of things, so they could maybe even live without it.
The coalition of civic groups who brought these ideas to us in a very forceful manner thought that what would be most would benefit everyone here is that BUP can lease the space to arts group at a much lower rate, and they can manage it and maintain it. Where we've tried to put the dance groups, in, for example, and can put them together with developers. Well, could you create space for a dance group? Sure, if they pay the going market rate. Well, they can't.
I don't think there's any disagreement with the intent.
Yeah.
I'm saying there's disagreement on my part with the language.
Right.
I don't think in a sector plan you should identify a specific group as being exclusive to the negotiations.
Right.
That puts them at a distinct advantage and puts everybody else at a distinct disadvantage. Although I understand that in the reality, that would probably be the group. And I'm supporting the idea of using that group.
Understood.
But they should not be identified in the sector plan, is what I'm suggesting.
That's
coming. And I know that the sector plan has been shaped by their input, which I support.
It's coming from the one non-lawyer on the plan, too, which is interesting. Excuse me.
Well, I guess I didn't understand what changes you wanted. I agree with the taking out the Bethesda Urban Partnership. 5 years, they may not exist. There might maybe a successful organization. So what? But you don't want.
I'm just saying, keep the concept.
Yeah, but this is really directed at Meredith.
It was the word "establish." I think
instead of support, say "establish" or "reward." You know,
I guess
explore mechanisms for the development. You know, something that's not just support, because what are we? We can't just support it. We're going to be the ones who have to do it.
I think one has to figure out how to write this to go in the master plan, the sector plan. The sector plan already says that there's this notion of off-site use, and combine, and that there would be an opportunity to combine. The goal here, the goal of the things on the list is that they should come into existence. So I take it that to be your point.
Yeah, that's my point.
Though it may be at any particular point in time, all that an individual development can do is provide part of the funding.
That's right.
So they may, in fact, support, but not actually themselves build. So I think you're just going to have to figure out how to write it so that it's clear that...
Right, because, see, that's a new aspect, okay, that you could just make a donation.
This was intended to provide a list that
right.
we can work off of with the goal that these things actually happen.
And you'll see it, of course, but...
Yeah.
See the language, of course.
So, is there agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the only other thing that I would bring up is if you, I do agree with, but on number 7, that's just the numbers there. When I added up the numbers of the space that they said they needed, I think the joy of motion, I don't think there's enough space there. Dance studios approximately 1,500 to 2,000 square feet each. How many dance studios?
That's exactly why. You must make this generic. You cannot go and put in the sector plan. You've met with Dance Motion,
yes,
and then they say, well, we need this, and then you put that. You can't do it that way.
No, you can't do it that way. What you can do is just have some marker as to what's a reasonable amount of dance studios.
I think the marker ought to be the square footage total.
Okay, I think that makes sense. But this, you can't tell
from everybody else to get that space.
But again,
I understand that the total you're coming up with is based on some of what they said. But let's be realistic. If I recall correctly, the dance studio talked in terms of the figure 10,000 square feet at one point.
Well, there's two of them, so maybe one had 10, okay.
And let's be realistic. Well, I won't say that. I think that we ought to just go with a total figure and not get into trying to parcel this out.
Okay.
But you should have a list of options of the kinds of things this space
can
be used for.
The kinds of things that it's to be used for, get into the MAYA.
We really get
into difficulty if we begin to try to identify the specific needs of each type of use.
It doesn't specify whether the dance studios have to have mirrors or not. This is the sector. It seems to me we're trying to create a general list of...
The main thing is the amount of... to give some indication of the amount of space.
A
range of spaces that's realistic.
And I'm saying that it ought to be the total square footage that we're talking about, and this is just an identification of the type of use that we suggest.
And all I was saying is we don't know how many, since it doesn't say how many dance studios, we don't know how much the total square footage is. So we should just come up with a number.
I don't see any problem with that.
Which is that? I'm saying...
Keeping it very flexible.
And that means, if I understand correctly, just talking about a number, an aggregate number, and specifying the types of uses?
Does that reduce our ability to negotiate aggressively with an applicant?
If you remember the Friendship Heights, we started at 6 and went to 12 and ended up with 21. we did pretty good. That number... The 1,500, that's not the Joy of Motion or the Maryland Youth Ballet. That is what a studio itself, a space like this that you would dance in.
But anyone who dances would need.
Yeah, you'd need a space of that size. That's where the number comes from.
Well, that's what the draft should say, because
yeah,
you're not intending to include
three
1,500-foot spaces if... Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure whether even that square footage is useful. The point is we want dance studios.
Maybe so.
I take it that that's the point. If someone's doing a huge project and they say, well, here's your 1,500 square feet and that's it and I'm not doing anything else.
Yeah.
You said 1,500 square feet and I gave you a dance. I don't know what that... We can tell whether it's usable space or not.
Same thing with the next one where you have the number of seats. Why do you need a square footage that goes along with that?
Just say a theater.
You want a theater. You want dance studios.
So
we're dropping the square footage, sounds like. Right?
Right.
Okay. No one disagrees. So do it.
No. Okay. That's fine.
Any other issues?
Then the next is page 9, I believe. Is that
right? And my suggestion on page 9 and on zoning, given our prior